just sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Is the mic on now? Can you tell?
Yeah.
Now it is. It's hurting. It's kind of like I am. It has to warm up a little bit before we get started. Beautiful day the Lord's made. We've got a good subject to discuss today. We've been studying this all year, God's plan for man. And in essence, that's what it's all about. To look at what God has planned for mankind, rather than we trying to make our own plans to please God. And we need to always remember that we have to go by that which God has commanded rather than that which we may think is best. We had an election in Iowa. I just wanted to say, you know, what does the Bible say? And that pretty well would answer the question about what I think about what happened in Ireland this past week. But we making laws or enacting practices really doesn't matter. We can make all the laws and make all the create all the practices we want to, but if we're not doing it as the Bible commands us to do it, then we'll answer for it on the day of judgment. I'm not in the condemning mode. I'm simply saying that we all make choices and we will be given answer for those choices. Today we're going to talk about singing, and if anybody has any questions I can't answer about singing, well, I see that we've got some song leaders here, so I'll just turn it over to them. I'm sure they can answer. I thought the first thing that we'd talk about as singing is concerned is that we would look at what Webster says about singing. Webster defines singing as to produce musical sounds with the voice, to render or utter by singing, to chant, to describe, proclaim in song. And we can try all we want to try. And when we talk about singing, there has never been a musical instrument that is more beautiful in the ears of God than hearts who are singing praises to Him. We can play whatever musical instrument you want to talk about, but He hears what man is singing, not anything else. And I'm not going to get a whole lot into that because that's in part two and also in part three of singing that you're going to be listening to for the next couple of weeks. But we do need to look at this just as another thing. Do you ever think about that the voice, that we're the only creature who can sing praises to God? All of God's creation speaks volumes about its power, but the only one who can give back to God is man. And that's why it's so important that we really pay attention and that we really mean those things that we sing. It's vital that we produce those sounds with a voice that is pleasing in God's ear. And I'll get a little bit more into that in another slide. This is a definition from Bible Dictionary, the Unger Bible Dictionary. Singing is the act of producing musical sounds with the voice and augments regular speech by the use of both tonality and rhythm. And we know that singing is different than just a regular speech. You know, a regular speech has different tones in it, but but the rhythm is not always there. You know, there's a rhythm also in poetry. You know, as you read poetry, there's a rhythm with that. And so we need to continually remember that singing is a very essential and important part of our worship service. Perhaps no portion of worship thrills man's soul quite like singing. When we sing, our thoughts and emotions are united. And there are things that really are a part of my life and a part of my feelings as far as worship service is concerned. Now, I try not to say that one is more important or any better than the other, because they're all commandments of God, and we have a responsibility to do as God has commanded us to do. But when you think of different songs that just rings out praise and devotion to God, there are some songs that just are going to mean more to you than other songs do. We have Mary's mom, when she held her grandchildren, would rock the children and be singing, "Bye, oh baby, bye, oh baby." And it's, you know, to the all the fount of many blessings. What a blessing it is to hold a child. And we look at songs, and everybody has a favorite song. I would dare say that if I said, "What's your favorite song?" and go around, there'd be very few that would say the same song. And so we'll get a little bit more into that also as we go along. The words and melody flowing from our hearts and bursting forth from our lips provide a glimpse of our inner being. I wish I had said that, but I copied it. But it says a lot about what we're supposed to do as far as singing is concerned. The music, the tones flowing from the heart to God is something wonderful and beautiful and pleasing, I dare say, in the sight of God, in the ears of God. The words and melody flowing from our hearts and bursting forth from our lips provide a glimpse of our inner being. We sing to plead with God. We sing to praise God. We sing in times of joy and trial, and to teach ourselves and others. We sing to praise God. Someone tell me a song that says that we're pleading with God. We sing to plead with God. Give me a song. Come on, Kurt. I knew everybody could get this one now. Pleading with God in the hour of trial. God be with you till we meet again. There are a lot of songs that we sing. What about to praise God?
God is an awesome God.
Yeah. And just over and over and over. What about joy? You can't use yours, man.
Joy to the world.
Joy to say it. Joy to the world. You've got Mary's song. Yeah. And you can see where I'm going with this. And in the hour of trial, praise Him, praise Him. All those songs, if we are just mouthing words, does no good. But if we're paying attention to the words and truly singing from the heart to our God, then God accepts it and He's pleased with it. And that should be our whole goal as far as life is concerned.
One thing too is, have you ever been in churches to where they didn't sing? Churches of Christ where they didn't sing, they just sit there and they just were so moved. We are very blessed at this church.
Yes.
They're singing.
Yes, yes.
Very blessed.
But we're not where we need to be. We still have people who don't sing. Whether it's because that they're embarrassed because of their voice, and I'll get that a little bit more in another slide, or whether they just are out in la-la land somewhere, their minds are not on it. We can do that and sing the words. But we have to sing with the Spirit. We have to sing with the understanding. And that's not a hard thing to comprehend. We mean it, and we know what we're doing when we sing as God wants us to sing. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, therefore, by Him let us continually offer sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's not a scripture that we use often as far as singing is concerned, but it certainly is one that is important to us. That we're, in a sense, and as we praise God, we're offering ourselves as sacrifices to His cause, to the cause of Christ, to do as He has commanded us to do, and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and strive to please God. We offer sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. God has done everything for us, has given us all things, made us controller of the universe, and we need to continually sing praise to Him.
Glory be to God on high. I don't know what the name of that song is, but that's...
Yeah, yeah. And all... one that pops into my mind, and you, some of you may also like it too, joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. And those are songs of praise that are beautiful, beautifully worded, but they're more beautiful when we sing from the heart. We mean what we sing. Now here we go. Who's to sing and worship to God?
Everybody.
And here's another question. Are there any bad singers when one sings praise to God from the heart?
No, it all sounds good to God.
It all sounds beautiful in the ears of God. Now, it may sound awful to us. You know, we got to get away from that. You don't know people's heart. You don't know how to... When I preached to the little congregation in Arkansas, I preached there for about 15 years. There was a couple of men. We on Sunday night, we had 30 minutes of singing every Sunday. Every Sunday night, we sang 30 minutes. And men would get up and sing. There were two men who completely sang in the same tone. They couldn't carry a song but. But they were singing from the heart. There is no doubt. You know, another gentleman get up and sing. He sang the same song every time. Why? Because it meant a lot to him. There are no bad singers. Sing your hearts out to God, and He will be pleased with it.
That's kind of like having a child, right? You know. Having children of myself has opened my eyes up to what I can assume, you know, the thoughts and the heart of God must be like towards us. And I love hearing my little 5 and 6 year olds sing. You know, they'll be back in their room singing to the top of their lungs. It can be completely and utterly off key, but I love hearing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the sweetest sound to me.
Yeah.
And certainly the same. And if it, God feels the same towards us, regardless of how that may sound to us.
If it brings joy to us when we hear it, you know, just think about how God is pleased with them singing. You know, singing praises to His name. Go ahead.
You know, that's another example how we're supposed to start out, train up the kids, and teach them all the way up so they know by the time they're adults what they're supposed to be doing. My grandson is 4, and we stand up to sing at my son's church, and he climb up on the bench, and he's standing up there, and he wait until he hear the chorus, and then he repeat. When the chorus part come, he's singing just as loud as he could sing. And I'm looking and say, you can't read. But he know the words, listening.
Yeah, yeah. And we can call examples like that over and over, where a young boy gets up in front of the congregation with his dad or with his granddad and leads a song. And, you know, it just, you talk about thrilling your heart when you hear your children sing, Kirk. It thrills my heart to see them get up here and sing. That's just, to me, that is about training up a child in the way he should go. And when they enjoy doing it, it makes it even better. Can you give an example where singing praises to God played a part in the salvation of one soul? I gave you a little hint. Get a little bit more into that, but just be thinking about that story, and then I'm going to ask you to give me all the details of it. No fair looking now. You can look if you want to. It's hardly possible to study worship without concentrating upon the avenue of singing. It is an essential part of worship. God commanded, that makes it essential. And we don't have to do it, we get to do it. We get to sing. We get to sing. We get to pour out our hearts to God and praise to Him. We sing for joy. In Psalms 66, verses 1 through 4, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. And again, songs pop into my mind about making a joyful shout to the Lord. Make a joyful sound to the Lord. Sing praises to His name. All the earth. Are we talking about the earth here? What are we talking about? Does the earth sing?
Yep.
That's a literal.
No, actually it does.
Not literal. What else is it? Yeah, figurative word. There's only one being, one part of the creation that can sing. And some of the nature people say a wolf calling out in the night is like a song. They have a voice, but they don't have the mental capability to sing praises to the name of God. So, go ahead, Kirk.
Yes, that is correct. However, I think to the human ear, if you will, figuratively speaking, it does. You know, the scriptures teach that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens don't. They're not verbally declaring anything. There's no mental feeling behind it, but when we see the sunsets and we see a raging storm, you know, to us, we look at these things and say, my word, you know, what power, what majesty, you know, what beautiful artwork across the sky and some of the sunsets we see around here.
Yeah.
You know, those things declare to us the reality and the majesty and the power of God. And so, yes, the crying of the wolf, the chirping of the birds, yes, they're not verbally speaking anything themselves to God, but to us, to mankind, it absolutely declares the beauty of God and the artwork of God, the glory, just the majesty. We look at the earth and everything in it, the sounds and the sights, and it speaks volumes to us about God and who He is.
The babbling brooks or the ocean.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Absolutely. They're beautiful, but are they as beautiful and more pleasing in God's sight? And that's why I'm coming from when it says to make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. I think He's talking to mankind here.
Oh, yes, sir.
And we need to remember that a lot of times when He talks about going to the world to preach the gospel, you know, He's talking about going to mankind to preach the gospel. So sometimes the word and the thought in my pea brain, you know,
no, I have to. I see what you're saying.
Verse 2, sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. How do we do that? How do we make our praise glorious? We've got to mean it. We've got to mean it. And we've got to concentrate upon it. And there's not, I think this statement was made last week. I'm not sure if Doug made it or perhaps who made it. But someone made the statement, there's not one of us here whose minds did not wander during song service, during prayer, during communion, or whatever the case may be, during the preaching service, maybe during our class, maybe someone is thinking, you know, not about singing at all. We all are guilty of that from time to time. And we've got to work on it and try to do that less and less and truly be in a worshipful attitude to God when we come together.
Well,
yes.
From a song leader perspective, I was talking with a gentleman one time, and he said something that kind of jogged or made me think. And to an extent, it is somewhat modified the songs I choose. When I'm leading singing on any particular Sunday or whatever. He made the comment that our songs, their focus should be on God and not us. And I thought about that, and there are a lot of songs in our songbooks that talk about things I do. I surrender all. I crown you king. There's a lot of songs about things I do. I'll never forsake my Lord. I mean, really? You know, I probably will actually forsake my Lord to some extent or another. That doesn't mean I'm not going to walk away from Him, but, you know, certainly there are times in my life where my sin or my way of living, my disservice to Him is a form of forsaking. So, you know, there's a lot of songs in our song books that talk about all the things I do for God. There's really not anything wrong, or, you know, biblically speaking, about the words of the songs. But I try to, when I choose my songs, I do intentionally try to choose songs that are more about what God has done for me, more so than what I'm doing for Him or to Him. Because, you know, we are to sing out the honor of His name and make His praise glorious, not necessarily talk about all the things I'm going to do for God. You know, so... Again, there's nothing wrong with the words of many of those songs, but I personally, I try not to leave many of them in a service. I try to make the majority of my songs about things that honor God and speak about what God, who He is and what He's done, or what Christ has done, etc.
Yeah. And there is teaching in every song, whether it's one that's saying, I surrender all, or whatever the case may be. my favorite song is Nearer Still Nearer. Can't sing it because tears start running. But am I getting nearer still nearer is the question. You know, for me. We can't worship for other people. We can encourage through our songs to other people, as well as be an encouragement to our own lives. But we do need to realize that we need to make this praise glorious. Continuing on. Okay, verse 3 and 4. Maybe it's a little bit later. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. No, it's not. Here we go. Verse 3 says, say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Say to God, how awesome are your works. And that's where I really see the mountains and the streams and things of this nature. Those are great, but there's something greater. There's something greater. In the eyes of God, mankind, we are greater, the greatest part of His creation. All things that were made for us, for our enjoyment, for our use. We were created to honor, respect, love, and be obedient to God. And we think truly his works are awesome. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. Reminds me, there's going to be a day of judgment when we're going to give an account of the lives that we've lived here upon this earth. And so we need to submit ourselves to God while we are here upon this earth, in order that we might live with Him eternally in heaven. Verse 4, all the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. We look and we see that truly our song service is as much a part of our worship as any other part that we do. And we need to glorify God in our singing. We shall sing praises to your name. Now there's a word here at the end of that verse. Selah. What's that mean? It occurs in the Bible over 70 times in the Old Testament. What's that word mean? You know, I was always taught that it was kind of like saying amen. That's not right. It's a pause. To pause. To pause and reflect. And reflect about what has been said. To think about that which has been said. And I think it fitting that over... I think around 70 times of the 70 plus, those are in Psalms.
You know, Welton, in a way, amen means to pause and reflect.
Well, that's true too. But that's not the definition of Selah. To pause and reflect upon what is said. To pause and reflect about what you have sung. And again, I think that brings us back to to reflect upon that which God has commanded us to do. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to your name. Selah. There it was. Joy is an emotion that springs from one's blessings. And we think about the different ways that we are blessed. Just being able to be here and worship our God, to reflect on the fact that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for our sins, to know that he is here with us in spirit. Spirit is with us. He is hearing the things that we do and the things that we say, whether it's in song or prayer, regardless. But as a result of the things that we do, I think we also see blessings that we receive. Not because we merit them, but because God loves us so much. Everything that we have, everything that we are, is because God has blessed us. You know, I chose it as my profession, education. But God gave me the aptitudes necessary to do that job. And you know, are there other things I possibly could have done? Maybe. You know, I've always said that if my father hadn't died, I would have been a farmer. But how good a farmer would I have been? Who knows? I'm satisfied with what I have done in education. I'll never be satisfied with how much I've done as far as my work for God is concerned. Because I see myself as not where I want to be. I continue to try to get better and better and better and better. And at the end, I'm still not worthy. But in God's eyes, we are worthy. And that's why he sent his son to take away our sins, to enable us to have that hope of heaven, that promise that through Christ we can live with him eternally.
Well,
God is the giver of all those blessings. In what ways are we blessed? Oh, I'm sorry. You want to go back?
I was thinking that we get joyful when not only us but another is blessed. Remember when we heard that Lloyd got a good PET scan? And it was just a time for rejoicing.
Yeah.
But we also have to be careful that we don't rejoice when we see someone who may have offended us go through hard times or troubled times. That in our old life, that may have caused us joy to see them being avenged. I mean, us being avenged or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and certainly we are to... you know, rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who weep. You know, our emotions should somewhat model or we are identifying with other people's feelings. You know, there's joy in getting good news and having good news. There's joy in seeing that newborn baby. You know, it brings gladness to our eyes. And so, you know, in all things we need to rejoice and give God the glory for it. I want to put up some things that ways we are blessed. The necessities of life. We may not have all that we want. We need to get away from that anyway and look at more what we need and pray for those things. But those things are taken care of. And it's not because of my wisdom, it's not because of my work that our basic needs, I have food, clothing, and shelter. Because of who gave it. And I need to be thankful for that. Christ is our Savior. Don't merit it. Don't deserve it. But God says, yes, you do. And I'm thankful for it. By the way, if you have something, you know, just get my attention because I don't hear well. And with this mic in one ear, I just halfway hear, and I can't halfway hear anyway. So you can figure how much I'm hearing. A Christian family. You know, it's just so much easier when you have a Christian mate who is helping you in your journey. Is it impossible to be a Christian and not have a Christian mate? No. Christian mate teach, encourage, admonish. And maybe that one will become a Christian. But it's so much easier when you have someone who is right by your side each and every time you go to worship. You know, sometimes I'm sick, Mary goes to worship anyway. Sometimes Mary's sick and I go to worship anyway. I don't know about Mary, but it's a whole lot easier for me to worship when she is by my side. You know, it's good. And even beyond that, it feels good when you come and you have a good group of people in class who are encouraging and striving to encourage you in your Christian walk. An occupation we love. Can't imagine working all your life in a job that you don't like. But we have that. It just hurt me something awful when teachers would tell me, I really don't like what I'm doing, but I've got too much invested in to get out. You're doing yourself a disservice, and more important than that, you're doing the kids a disservice. Don't do something that you don't like. Find you a job you love. The testing of our faith. Do you ever think about that being a blessing? You know, I don't mean to pick on you, Lloyd, but I'm going to pick on you anyway. Lloyd was not only blessed by the congregation lifting him up during his time of trials, we also were blessed by Lloyd with his positive attitude. And we need to recognize that those trials, we go through those trials with our fellow Christians, and we pray and we plead that God would bring a cure. And we still are praying for those of our brethren that are in need. But not only our brethren, but we're to pray for all. In James 1, verses 2 and 3, James writes, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I always can't ever think about patience without thinking about my friend who's a basketball coach, and he had a young basketball team, And he said, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. If you've ever coached a bunch of young kids, well, you understand why he needs it right now. but it doesn't happen that way. We go through our trials, and if we continue to go through those trials the way God wants us to, then those trials that we have suffered will make us stronger for the next problem that comes along. Psalm 66 points out, our praise of God is rightfully based upon his power and authority. We worship him because he is worthy of such. The proper way to express this joy is by singing to God to honor his name. Psalms 95, 1 through 5. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. How many psalms can you see in that verse? Those two verses. You know, over and over again, our minds just go back to different songs that we sing and that we are shouting joyfully to the rock of our salvation. That firm ground that we can stand on by living and doing as Christ has commanded us to do. So let's continually give thanksgiving, shout joyfully our praise to God. For the Lord is the great God, the great King of above all kings. In his hand are the deep places of the earth, the height of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Again, we look at this and recognize that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is, in reality, the only God. There are no other gods. Man may make things that they worship, but only he is Jehovah. Adam Clark observed, God is the absolute master of the universe nature. Therefore, there is no other object of worship nor of confidence. We should sing for joy. We should sing for compassion. Have you ever sung a song that made tears run down your face? Tears because of something personal, or tears of sorrow because of the trials we were going through? Did those tears come? Cause you to remember a song or break into a song to God? Let's look at a couple of biblical examples. Mark 14, verse 26. And when they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. What's the background for this? And when they, who's that? Jesus and the disciples had sung a song, had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now what's about to happen here? Right before he died. He was going to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And even in this time, and I don't think the apostles truly knew exactly, even though he had told them that he was about to be taken and killed, Jesus knew. And in that time of trial, he sang a song. Not just by himself, but they all sung together. And that we need to realize that we should also sing, even when we are sad, recognizing that our God is our God. Another scripture, Acts 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Tell me what happens here. Okay. The yeah. What happened before then? What? Why was? Why were Paul and Silas in prison? What?
For Christ.
All right. But they had performed a miracle.
Did they cast out the demon out of the? Was it the girl that had the spirit of divination?
That's it. And what did they do? They cast it out.
Cast it out. And people got mad because they ruined their business.
Yeah. And they were beaten with rods. Can you imagine being beaten with rods? And they were in the depths of the prison at midnight, singing praises to God. When earthquake happened, the doors were open, the guards were going to kill themselves, and the guards had heard them singing too. You think that might have had an impact upon them becoming a Christian? Didn't get done again. Come back next week and you'll hear part two.
Yeah.